Thank you, church across the driveway, across the green, for ringing your bell for us. Thank you. That's a blessing. Chuck, send him a check. God bless him. It's beautiful. We're all a family together. Amen. That church, guess what? That church over there, guess who they're talking about today? Jesus. Amen. Get to St. Mary's up the street. Guess what they're talking about today? Jesus. Amen. Brothers and sisters. The Methodist Church. Guess who they're talking about? Come on. Hallelujah. Let's say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this name, our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen, amen, amen. Be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
Shake the dust off and sit back and relax. Hallelujah. Hello, Derek. You know, God doesn't change you. You know that people get afraid if they turn to God that God changes who you are? He loves who you are. Let me say that again. He loves who you are. That's why Derek is right here, because he knows my heart. He knows I love the Yankees and baseball. And he says, I want you to enjoy yourself when you're in church preaching about him. Amen? I want you to enjoy yourself today. Hallelujah. Let's read together. In all the studies I've ever done, in all the schools I went to, and all the degrees that I got, they were all based on the Bible. All the churches around are based on the Bible. It seems that the one thing that I should instill in everybody is to read the Bible. Isn't that something? It's so important that you take some time to hear God's word. So we'll read today Psalm 112. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands.
His children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed.
Hallelujah. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever.
Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright. For the gracious and compassionate and righteous man.
Do you believe it? Good will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice.
Surely will never be shaken. The righteous man will be remembered forever.
He will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord.
His heart is secure. He will have no fear. In the end, he will look in triumph on his foe.
Hallelujah. Did you read that? You ought to read that. Put that on your refrigerator. Read that a few times this week. It's wealth and riches are in his house. I have people say, well, if you follow God, you can't have any money. I said, where did that come from? Because it says in Joshua, the book of the law shall not depart from my heart, so I shall meditate on it, and I will have good success. Amen? How many want good success? Of course you do. It's in the word of God right there. That's a wonderful scripture. A wonderful Psalm 112. Hallelujah. Prayer testimonies. First of all, I want to thank you for your prayers, my wife and I. And I also want to thank Mr. Jim Howe, Deacon Jim. Jim Howe became Mission Control. We had GPSs, we had a map, and we had Mission Control. Jim and my wife, they're on there. The weather forecast for 20 miles ahead of us, for 50 miles ahead, the traffic all the way down and all the way back. He never left our sight. If something had happened to us, Jim Howe was immediately would have known what it was and taken care of us. Amen? That was an awful... Yes, sir.
Nice and loud.
Boy.
Say, it looks like y'all had some bad weather. Ooh, about 30 minutes ago. That's right.
God did a couple of other things for us. I give him the praise and glory. Driving down, we saw two major traffic tie-ups on the highways, once in Pennsylvania and another one down at the other end of Pennsylvania. I mean, miles and miles and miles. Coming back, we saw one in West Virginia, miles and miles, and another one in Pennsylvania. Guess how many traffic jams we were in? Nada, zero, not one. And I give him the praise and glory. You know, I wouldn't say to you, oh, we're going to get back in our car and do it again and God will take care of us. That's not the way it works, amen? I don't test him. I don't try him. I don't say, oh, we can do that again, because the next time, who knows? Let's pray together. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the way you take care of us, Lord. Thank you for the path that you open up for us, the way that you guide us, the way that you love us, the way that you keep us safe, Lord. And we know in this world there's going to be heartache and there's going to be sadness and there's going to be trouble, Lord. We know that there's going to be sickness, Lord, but we know that if we hang on to you and hang on to your word, Lord, that it changes us, and that's the beginning of healing. The second we hold on to you is the beginning of our healing, the beginning of our peace. The second we hold on to you is the beginning of our joy coming back, Lord. Even in the midst of darkness, we can find joy because we're holding on to you. And sometimes in the darkest places, we draw the closest to you. So maybe that's your plan sometimes. We just get so crazy and so busy in life that we forget about you sometimes and we forget to talk to you, that you slow us down to a point that we need to talk to you and get back to the basics. Lord, we just love you. We just give you praise and just glory for this church, Lord, for this building. We were here this week. We got here early to look at the flowers that the people planted, Lord, our brothers and sisters. They know who they are, Lord, and we're going to just want to praise them, Lord, for the flowers outside, the cactus and the hostas and all the things that people are doing for this church, your church, for this their church, Lord. It's so important. Thank you for the love. Thank you, Lord, for all the gifts that you blessed us with. I looked around at the names on the windows and all around the church of people in the 1800s. We don't want to forget them, Lord. Their names are there. George Wellington Shelton's name's there. Lyman L. Loomer, Lord. They were hundreds of years ago, Lord, but they helped build this church, 1840 to 1880. Samuel Miller Gardner, Lord. We want to just lift them up, Lord, and thank them. Because other people helped us to get to where we are today. We need to continue. And we can't do that without you, Lord. So we just pray that we get more of you in our lives and in our hearts, Lord, individually. Because as we grow individually, it just falls out on other people. And as it falls out on other people, their lives change. And then the world changes, Lord. There's a lot of disasters and a lot of trouble in the world. A lot of things, Lord, that we're just asking you to help us with. Let's just touch those people in need, Lord. You know where they are, Lord. We can just keep naming them for hours. Or just ask for prayer, Lord, that they find people who will help them. Good people who in their hearts want to give them what they need, Lord, to continue their lives. You're an awesome God. We just love you for this church and those in attendance, Lord. As we get ready to preach your word, and Lord, just keep us in peace on this beautiful day. In Jesus' name I pray. Hallelujah. I want you to all get ready. Shake off the dust. Take your shoes off if you have to, Fred. I want you to relax and have joy in church. Are we ready? Hallelujah. We're going to go back a little bit, talk about what we talked about a couple weeks ago and some stuff. We'll start with George Washington again. And it kind of dawned on me these 2 weeks as I was praying how George Washington and our Paul, Apostle Paul, had a lot in common. Amen? We're going to start there. Washington spoke against parties. If you were here 2 weeks ago, you know I said that. He spoke against having parties in the government. And he spoke against it because he understood how it could cause separation. Amen? How one could feel a loyalty or an obligation to some decisions based on the party he or she belonged to. Amen? He understood that that could happen. He understood that if you had parties, all of a sudden, almost becoming two teams against one. You see it today. Amen? He knew that. He said, wait, we got to stop and chastising a member who agreed with the other side. He knew that that would happen. If you had parties and they divided themselves, that there would be loyalty, and all of a sudden they'd be calling each other names, fights, name calling, causing total disharmony. Even if the other party was right, you could never admit it or ever admit defeat. Amen? He knew that that would happen. Then it came to the people. George said it shouldn't start in government, but it did. And then it came to the people, and guess what? They joined one party and became party loyalists. Amen? He knew that that wouldn't be good. Pride, anger, name-calling, blaming, disharmony, until nothing worked anymore. The USA is one nation under who? Hallelujah. Yet we're divided by parties. Amen? Washington knew that. Good people who started out with good hopes and ambitions, people with good intentions, amen? Are you with me? They're not bad people, they were good people. And then they got lost in pride and self and ego, not seeing the damage that they're doing to the country from both sides. Are you with me? You may ask me, Pastor, what does this have to do with church and God? You may ask me, Pastor, what does this have to do with church and God? I'm glad you asked me that. Tough crowd. 1 Kings 19. So he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. You know who said that? You were here a couple of weeks ago, Elijah the prophet, one of the greatest prophets of the Bible. Elijah said, I alone am left. Thinking, what was he talking about? Why did he think that he was alone? He didn't know other people were talking about God. He didn't know where they were, so he just figured, I'm the only one God's talking to me. I'm the only one God's talking to, so I'm the only one left. Hallelujah. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. He didn't know that they couldn't be a part of somebody else. Have you ever heard any religion say they are the only one? Have you heard that? I've heard that. People say, my religion is the only one. Well, I can tell you this. Elijah was wrong. For the other part, that's up to you to decide. Are you with me? Hallelujah. I know Elijah was wrong because listen to this. It says in Kings, 1 Kings. So it was, while Jezebel massacred the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them, 50 to a cave, and had fed them with bread and water. How many? To a cave. 100. Obadiah. This is the same time with Elijah. And Elijah knows Obadiah. But he didn't know about those people. Amen? Notice that the 100, they weren't divided. They served God. Amen? They served God alone. But by serving God, guess who else they served? They served you. Karen, they served me. They served God. Are you with me? These prophets, they weren't divided by anything except they loved God. They wanted to bring us the word. They wanted to teach us, to guide us. To be what? To be what religion did they want us to be? There wasn't any. Amen? Are you with me? Fill in the blank. These 100 prophets of God were put in a cage and they were being hid because they talked about God. What religion were they? Exactly. Hallelujah. 100 men of God, prophets of the Lord. What denomination? Well, they know they weren't, whatever you want to say, so I guess they weren't part of our team then, amen? If they weren't Baptists, I guess they weren't a part of the Baptist team, right? Congregationalists, we're second congregational. If they weren't congregational, I guess they weren't a part of our team, were they? Of course they were. They weren't any church denomination, were they? They were men of who? Hallelujah. Teaching all of us to be what? God-like. Followers, believers in the God of who? The God of this book right here, this beautiful book, the Bible. But wait, there's more. How many want more? You want more? Okay. I'm glad you said that. Kings 19:18, listen. God the Father speaking. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal and every mouth that has not kissed him. God the Father tells Elijah, I have saved 7,000. I have 7,000 followers, he's telling him. So that's 7,101 prophets of the Lord. Elijah thought he was the only one. Obadiah saved 100 of them. God reserved 7,000. men of the Lord, amen, prophets of the Lord, of the Bible, amen, that's what he did. All for one purpose. What is that purpose? To bring us closer to who?
God.
How many parties? How many denominations? None, zero, amen. Who made parties? Who made the parties in this government? Man, amen. Who made denominations in the world? Man, amen. Did God make them? No. We saw in Tennessee so many beautiful churches. I mean, there's billboards about come to our church. It's so different than here. As soon as we got into West Virginia and Kentucky, billboards, beautiful churches. Come to our church. Come to our church. And it made my heart so happy. I mean, there's churches everywhere, all with the cross. And you feel like people want to know who God is. Amen. But then I wonder how many of those people know each other. Do they there cross the street over there and talk to those people? Those people over there, that's a different denomination. I can't talk to those people. Amen? That happens. So many doing God's work. I want you to know right now that there's so many people besides us here today doing God's work. Amen? We are not alone. Say that with me. We are not alone. So many churches doing so many things. But then I said, do they know each other? I said, thank you to that church over there. And I mean it from my... We should get together. We should have a picnic on the green of all of us and just say, we love Jesus, and start singing. But sometimes, you know why you can't? Because different churches sometimes have a different doctrine. They believe Jesus, but then they start believing a different doctrine. Some churches make laws not only about God, but about other churches and believe in God. I can tell you, I love my mother. Please don't take this the wrong way. My mom was a great aunt. She took me to church. She was wonderful. But my friend, Alan Holmes, lived in that red... His father was the minister of the Methodist church right here in the corner. Alan was one of my best friends. He played guitar. I was about 12 years old. I wasn't 13 years old. My mother forbid me. I mean forbid me to go in that church. If anybody raised Catholic, you understand what that is? There was no way my mother wanted me in that church. And who did they serve in that church? Jesus. Amen. God. Hallelujah. Some churches, whatever you want to call them, some religions, some denominations, change the word of God. How many know that? I want to read something to you now that this doesn't make you, whatever the word is, if this doesn't affect you in your spirit. I'm going to go to the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible. The book of the prophecy hasn't been completed yet, amen? The things yet to come. I'm going to read you something from Revelation. It's right in the back of the book. You can go right to the end. Right to the end of the book. As soon as I find it here. 22:8. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm sorry. 22:18. This is the last. Listen to this. Revelation 22:18. This is John. For I testify to everyone who hears the word. How many people?
Everyone.
Who hears the word of the prophecy of this book. Which book?
Bible.
If anyone adds to these things, to adds to what? The Bible. God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. Okay. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Revelation 22:18, John's last warning, his warning to us. If anyone adds to these things, if anyone adds to what's in this book, plagues, oh Lord, that are written in the book. Anyone takes away, removes a word. If anybody gives you a scripture from their church and words are removed, just pray for them, brothers and sisters. Just pray for them. Y'all love Jesus? Book Mark. Not Mark Bush, but Mark of the Bible. 9, 38. Listen to this. Now John answered Jesus, saying, Teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he does not follow us. Jesus said, Do not forbid him, for no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me. For he who is not against us is on our side. For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. Let me read that again. He says, Do not forbid him, for no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me. Hallelujah. The disciples saw somebody else talking about Jesus. They knew Jesus. They loved, but they didn't know who they were. And these people were talking about Jesus and casting out demons in Jesus' name. They believed. These people believed God so much that they stood and laid hands on people and prayed for those people. And demons were removed. And the disciples said, Hey, we don't know who you are. We don't play for our team. You're not wearing my uniform. You're another party. Stop doing it. Imagine that. They said, stop doing it. And Jesus said, what are you doing? They're on our side. They're using me. They love me. They love me so much that they're standing on faith that I will do what they prayed that I do. Amen? Hallelujah. The Word of God doesn't need any help. How many know that? Doesn't need any help. It never needs to be changed or altered to fit an idea. The Word sets us ready, free. How many want to be free? The Word sets us free. It sets you free on your appearance. The men put bondage on your appearance. How many see that? You're supposed to wear suit and tie when you go to church. Well, you're not dressed right for church. You hear that? For your life. For your habits. For your hobbies. For your finances. Amen? They make rules. God didn't make those rules. Amen? He said to be a cheerful giver. He said to give and it shall be given back. There's peace in this word right here, brothers and sisters. When we believe, there's health, there's healing, strength, peace, and comfort, prosperity in this word, amen? Not in the church, but in this word. Are you with me? And again, I say to you, He gives us a new family. We've seen it here now. We see how the family's growing. We see the outside, the people who love this church, what they're doing. Well, anybody who works in that yard, guess who they're doing it for? They're doing it for you, Ed. They're doing it for you, David. They're doing it for the church because in their heart, they want to give more. Amen? So when somebody blesses one, all of us are blessed. Amen? Are you with me? He gives us a new family to be stronger, to trust people, and to grow with people. I want to ask you to do something for me right now. I want you to close your eyes. Just for a moment. Just close your eyes. And I want you to remove the troubles. I want you to remove your family, your friends. I want you just to clear your thoughts. Just stop thinking about what you think is. Just clear your thoughts. And now you don't see a church, see? You don't see a building. You don't see masses of people. You don't see anything. You've cleared your thoughts. And guess what? Now it's just you and Jesus. Just the two of you. One-on-one. Do you trust Him? His Father's going to say to you, Do you love my Son? Isn't He beautiful? Don't think anything. Just close your eyes. Just see God. There's no, all of a sudden, there's no priest, there's no bishop, there's no elders, there's nothing. There's nothing but you and God now. There's no church. It's just you alone with Him. And He said, Jesus first. His love, His word, His peace, His comfort. Jesus says to you, now you've cleared your mind. He said, I will add all things to you. All good things I will give to you. And Jesus says, I know your needs. I know your needs, Fred. I know the stress. I know your needs. Rest in me, He says. Jesus says, I am the way. I will give you. I will lead you. I will direct your path. Now we can be one. Right now, this church is one. Focus. focused on God. Just focused on God. Remove the walls of separation. Amen. We are different. We are all different. We all love different things. We all enjoy different things, yet we are all the same. We are all His children. Whatever else, listen to me now as you mind, whatever else you add into your thoughts from this moment on today, whatever else you add to your thoughts, now that you've cleared your mind and you understand that Jesus is first, He is the answer. Now, whatever else you add to your thoughts, listen to me, whatever stress, whatever worry, whatever doubt, whatever fear, whatever anger, whatever that you put in there, guess what? Those are yours. He didn't put them there. Those are your thoughts now. You put them in there. You got stress, you got worry, whatever agitations, whatever disagreements, whatever you're putting back in there, those are yours. God said, I'll take care of them. I'll remove them, and I'll be there for you. He said, I will add all things. But listen to me, whatever now that you've removed, whatever that you've removed now that's clear, add God. Add Jesus. Add faith. Add peace. Add His love. Hallelujah. Whatever you remove, allow you to fill it with God, His love, His goodness, His peace. Knowing that there'll be troubles, but God will carry you through them. Knowing you're going to have sicknesses, but God will heal you. He will help you. He will guide you. Knowing that you're going to have a need of a job, He says, but I have one for you. You're going to have a need of a mate, He says, I have one for you. Just come to me first. Just you and Him, because that's the way it's going to end someday. Miss Gloria was here in this church. She asked me so many beautiful questions. Her heart was so hungry to love Him again like that. Today she's with Him in heaven, looking down and just saying, boy, He is so beautiful, you have no idea. Whatever thoughts you put back in your head when you leave this church, understand that God didn't put those thoughts there. You did. Whatever worries, remember, you put them there. God said, I took care of them. I'll take care of them. You have things that you can do. Allow me to take care of that while you do what you can do. Just fill it with God. Fill it with kindness. Fill it with giving. And watch how He blesses your life. Even in the middle of destruction. Even in the middle of darkness. Even in the middle of famine. When you see the world going crazy and you say, how am I being blessed? Because your Father in heaven is in control and He loves you. He's there for you. That's your message for today. Give Him praise and glory. I will tell you as your pastor and as your friend, so that you know that we go through the same things that you go through. We are family with you and your family with us. My son's going to be 30 years old pretty soon. We're with our daughter and our granddaughter and our grandchildren and our other sons and stepsons and beautiful boys. I told my daughter the same thing I've been telling my son. Find a church, please. Find a church. Go to church. Find a little church somewhere. Find anything where you can meet new friends, meet new people. Please take our grandchildren to church. Don't give me excuses why you don't like this. Don't give me excuses why this. I just said, please, just find a church. We ask our kids to do so many things. We teach our kids to do so many things. Yet for some reason we stop at that point saying, well, I don't want to tell them what to do. And that one thing you don't want to tell them what to do will change their lives. Amen? I tell you that the moment I walked into a church and gave my heart to God, my life changed. I still played guitar. I still sang Hank Williams. But my life changed. Amen. I met new people, new friends, and had new hopes and dreams. We're praying with you as you're praying with us for our children and your grandchildren that you love so much. You got to say, look at, you got to take them. Let them go and meet children, other children who talk about God, other children who enjoy other things together. And you'll meet new families, and they'll meet new families, and their life will change. Amen.